The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, meanwhile, on planet Earth, Bart, were you not just talking about rock, paper, scissors? They're doing that instead of a coin flip. What do we make of this?
Listen, I need a referee that's going to judge if somebody pre-shoots or waits for somebody to kind of throw the rock out there. But I like it, though.
Different kind of training for sure than most of the officials are getting these days. Maybe it'll catch on. Anyway, welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. And it is time to get up with the Cleveland Browns. How long will Baker Mayfield be out? What happens if Case Keenum has a big night in place of him? Lots of questions to answer for Cleveland. Aaron Rodgers has a case of deja vu. Is it possible that means it's going to be a super season? And why is Tom Brady congratulating him? And after an NBA thriller at the Garden, the Knicks and the Celtics battle to the buzzer and beyond. We got Doris Burkin here to talk about that. We start with week 7 in the NFL, which begins tonight. The Browns will be without quarterback Baker Mayfield. How did this happen? Well, back in week 2, he suffered a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, his left shoulder, trying to make a tackle following an interception. Always a great idea. Since then, Mayfield's been playing through the injury with a harness to support the shoulder, but he re-aggravated it last week when the J.J. Watt sacked him. Yesterday, he was ruled out for tonight's game, a decision Mayfield said was his to make, and that means Case Keenum will get the start in his place against the Broncos. Case Keenum talked about that yesterday. Here's what he said.
I feel very ready. I've been ready. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. And I've been ready since I got here. So I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm built for this. This is what I've done my whole career. He take a freight train to keep him out of the game. And that's, I'm assuming that's what it did.
Likely not, but Mayfield hasn't missed a game. That's why Keenum didn't start one last year. He had a career year in Minnesota. He was 11-3 as the starter in 2017. Since then, just 7-17, bounced around a little bit, and again, been the backup in Cleveland. Nick Mullins, activated off the practice squad, he will back up Keenum tonight. So, look, I mean, obviously Baker Mayfield, tough, wanted to play through this, has been playing through it, but not going to be able to answer the bell tonight. Jeff, what more can you tell us, not only about Baker's health, but the rest of his team?
Well, Dan, let's start with Baker, because we talk about this being a re-aggravation of an injury suffered week 2. There's an important delineation here. This is now a fully torn labrum that he's dealing with in his non-throwing shoulder. So while Baker felt like he was going to be able to go, he ended up getting 2 opinions from 2 different doctors that ultimately said, we advise against that. Now the question, of course, becomes, this isn't going to get better without surgery. If they advise against him playing this week, what's going to change after that? So some real precarious situations facing the Browns starting quarterback. And of course, we also have a ton of other injuries plaguing this team right now. The running back situation. They've got 2 guys that are going to be out of this game. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, both dealing with calf issues. Now, the hope here is that Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry can potentially play in this game. Kevin Stefanski said he has not ruled either one of those guys out. Landry is a guy that's coming off of the injured reserve and has missed the last several games. Beckham is a guy who suffered his shoulder injury Sunday against Arizona. So if they can at least get those guys in this game, maybe they can compensate for what is obviously a decimated running game. However you look at it, though, right now, the Browns situation is dire indeed.
Clearly a week where they could have used a few extra days and not played on Thursday night. But such is life. Bart Scott, playing without your starting quarterback, never ideal. Can the Browns win anyway?
I believe they can. I mean, when you think about Case Keenum and who he's been, especially within this system, he's played at a high level. Now, it's been a long time, so with backups, you never know which version of them you're going to get. The one where they played at the height of their superpowers, or when they get exposed and they'll be hiding on rosters, stealing money for a couple of years. Now, when I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns, this is a team that's predicated on running the football and trying to play the short game, get the ball out of their hands. Listen, if Case Keenum can't figure it out, Baker Mayfield isn't going to get better. That shoulder doesn't get better. Guys are going to start attacking that shoulder. They got to go to plan C, which I think should be Cam Newton. When you think about signing him early, if Case Keenum can't show that he can account himself very well, because listen, you talk about Baker's shoulder, it doesn't get better, and teams are going to continue tackling him and tackling his arms, and that shoulder's going to keep popping out until he can't handle the pain anymore.
You just going to throw Cam Newton in there? Just like throw the name in there? Like we're not going to talk about
it? Well, I set it up with the C. You better be earlier than late to the party. Somebody going to sign him, man. He's double backs now.
Well, they're not signing him in time for tonight's game. Lewis, which version of Case Keenum do you expect to see in this game?
I expect to see a solid version of Case Keenum. I expect to see really what has been defined as the game manager Case Keenum, which is just fine because that's exactly what they need. Why? Because I don't think he was ever, going to be expected to win the football game. And I think the other components of this team, namely special teams and defense, have to step up. They just do. And defense in particular, and we've talked about it already, we know that this defense is kind of littered with headline type of names and explosive type of playmakers that could turn the game around and set the offense up with short fields if they are able to produce turnovers, which this defense should be able to, considering the fact that they have playmakers on all three levels. And I think then, from there, Case Keenum will do what he has always done. Make good decisions pre-snap, be accurate with the football post-snap, not be careless with the football, understand exactly what Kevin Stefanski wants to do from a game plan standpoint, considering his familiarity with him when he was in Minnesota. And I think they will set themselves up to have a chance to win this football game. That's what backup quarterbacks are supposed to do. That's what Case has always done in this kind of role. Let's just see if tonight holds true.
If he can't, that would drop the Browns to 3-4. Damian Woody, this is a team that came into this season with very high hopes. If they lose this game tonight, do you think they are done?
No, I don't think they're done. I think, if you look at their schedule after this Thursday night game, there's a lot of favorable matchups. But I think the big key for them, obviously, is health, getting those guys back healthy. One of the advantages of playing on a Thursday night, albeit, the Browns being in a tough situation tonight, is that you got a mini bye. So you have the opportunity to potentially get some guys back healthy. But listen, at the end of the day, Lewis touched on it. This Browns defense need to come through. You got a backup quarterback playing. We saw all the people that are out on the offensive side of the football. This Browns defense, with all those names that we've been talking about since before the season started, these guys need to come through in the clutch. If they can come through and play the type of football that most people thought the Browns defense would play this season, then I think they can get this win and hopefully get on the mend and put something together going forward.
Bart, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, because when I look at that schedule, even tonight, I see guys that are going to play a backup quarterback a certain type of way. When you have a quarterback that you know is not going to have a run game, then you close the distance. You not only bring the eighth man in the box, but you also press the receivers not to give them those easy throws, which means that those tackles are going to be put on the island that are backups against Von Miller and Chubb. Yeah. And then next week, they have the Steelers who present the same issues. So if they can't get guys back and get guys healthy, then you talk about backup quarterbacks or a quarterback with compromised thorn shoulders or hurt, injured shoulders, then it poses for a really tough road ahead for the Cleveland Browns, who is in very big danger of maybe missing the playoffs.
Big game for both teams. Not only are the Browns 3-3, so are the Broncos after they started 3-0. All right, let's look ahead to the rest of Week 7. Lewis Riddick, what is your upset pick of the weekend?
Yeah, I don't know if this is necessarily an upset, but the Colts are going on the road. They're going to go to San Francisco, and I think this is a football team that right now is primed to really start playing well. I think you've seen Carson Wentz, starting with the Monday night game that we had against the Baltimore Ravens down there on the road. You've seen him start to really hit his stride. He is starting to get healthy. Him and Frank Reich are clicking. DeForest Buckner is motivated in this football game. He has already expressed the fact that this is kind of personal to him because he never expected to leave San Francisco. I think this is a team that is going to surprise some people in the second half of the season.
All right, we'll look for the Colts and the 49ers. D. Wood, your upset pick of the week.
Hey, man, I'm going with the Jets. I might be in concussion protocol with this pick, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway. With the Jets coming off a bye. Listen, the Jets coming off the bye, you would think that maybe they can get the quarterback going. If they can get the quarterback going and get and stop throwing into the other team, I think the Jets might have a chance to pull it off in Foxborough.
Yeah, we might have to stop laughing.
Keep a straight face.
Can even get through it, man.
In the Damian Woody Bowl. Bart, what's your upset pick of the week?
Man, I'm nervous about this one. You heard, you know, last week after the Bengals won the game, they said on to Baltimore. This is a Super Bowl type of game with them. Traditionally, the Bengals have always given the Ravens issues because this is a big game to them. It's not a big game to the Ravens. You know, Pittsburgh is the rival. And Joe Burrow just has the way to attack down the field with three good receivers, and I think that's going to propose a lot of issues for the defense of the Baltimore Ravens. I'm concerned. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm not in the protocol.
Would be huge for the Bengals. 0-5 against the Ravens since Lamar Jackson became Baltimore's starting quarterback. All right, when we come back, we're going to get everybody checked. When we come back, we're going to talk about Dak Prescott. Can he still be effective if his calf is not healthy? A legendary Cowboys quarterback weighs in, and so will our analyst. Plus, everyone's been talking about Aaron Rodgers' celebration against the Bears, including Tom Brady. We're going to tell you what he had to say about it next. But first, it is time for Sneaky Hembo, and he's got this one for Bart Scott. Who is the only player to sack Tom Brady three times in a regular season game? Is it Bart?
Nah.
No.
Negative.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, back to Sneaky Hembo time. Bart Scott,
so sneaky.
Do you know who's the only player who sacked Tom Brady 3 times in a regular season game?
Yeah, the regular season game is what got me because Sean Ellis, I think, got him in a playoff game.
Doesn't matter.
Away game.
Regular season.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to go with an opponent that probably played him a long time, 20 years, long time. I'm going to go with Robert Mathis. They always played the Colts. I want to say he probably got him 1 time.
Well, that is a good guess, but it is not correct. The correct answer is Joey Porter.
Joey Peasy?
Week 8 of the 2004 season. Tough question because you got to cover a couple of decades worth of Tom Brady. Khalil Mack got him twice last season, and they meet again Sunday. Bears travel to Tampa to play the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers. Very exciting time for the Bears. They're under new ownership. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers announced his purchase of the franchise after scoring a touchdown at Soldier Field last week. His friend Tom Brady, who we were just talking about, wanted to pass along his congratulations.
I wanted to say congrats to Aaron. Rodgers, obviously, not only is he a great quarterback, but I guess he's now a shareholder of the Bears. He was, you know, I saw a clip of him really enthusiastically telling the crowd how happy he is to own Soldier Field. And that's really great stuff. He owns the Bucks now, part owner of Soldier Field. So he's got a great career beyond football.
Brady likes to troll Rodgers. Might be one of the only guys who can get away with it. He does not own Soldier Field, however. Remember this from last year? In Soldier Field, Brady forgetting what down it was. That was a strange moment in the career of the greatest of all time. But this game is not at Soldier Field. It's in Tampa, where the Bucs rebounded nicely from last year's loss to the Bears and won the Super Bowl. They're 5-1 to start the season, and the Bears are 3-3. Really could use a win. Lewis Riddick, how do the Bears pull it off?
Yeah, this is a tough assignment, Dan. I know that right there is breaking news, but it's a tough assignment. And I think first and foremost, they have to limit the explosive plays on the defensive side of the ball going up against this Tampa Bay offense. And I think Sean Desai, the new defensive coordinator in Chicago, is a name people need to get familiar with, because he's a disciple of Vic Fangio and someone who head coach Matt Nagy loves. And in order to eliminate some of those explosive plays, not only do they need to play good in the back end, but Khalil Mack, we already said that he got him twice before as far as when he played against Tom Brady. He's going to have a huge game. He's going to have to make sure that Tom is uncomfortable. Because if you can do that, if you can make him uncomfortable and play that too high safety scheme and play that umbrella type of coverage in the back end, then you've got a shot. Then it's up to Justin Fields in this offense to manufacture some points against a secondary that continues to be beat up but maybe can be exposed with some deep shots of their own down the field. But this is, without a doubt, this is a tough, tough uphill climb for the Chicago Bears.
Bart, can they pull it off?
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head, Lewis. They have to, listen, air that thing out. Tampa's going to prepare to stop the run. You know, we know they stop the run better than anybody. They have those two massive tackles in the inside. Pierre-Paul is great at setting the edge. You have to air it out, right? You have to try and get explosive plays. You have to switch it up. You can't throw on predictable downs. You got to throw on non-predictable downs. Taking, you know, first down shots, you know, getting them off his spot, maybe some trick plays. You got to have a couple gadgets in, first play after 50. All the things that we know about, if they can execute that, maybe they have a chance. I think they can slow this offense down on the other side, understanding, too, on the defense side of the ball for Tampa, they're down to the backup, to the backup, to the backup.
D. Wood, how do you see it?
Well, listen, I mean, obviously it starts on the defensive side of the football. With the Chicago Bears, they're going to have to, like Lewis talked about, limit the explosive plays. They're not going to be able to hold down Tom Brady, you know, this game. You know, they possibly slow him down. But I think the bigger point is they can't game manage Justin Fields. When you're going up against an explosive offense like Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, you're going to have to score points. And so with that being said, the weakness of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensively is their secondary. You're going to have to take chances. You're going to have to do, you know, you have to break tendencies that you have on offense, throwing on early downs, utilizing your athletic quarterback outside of the pocket. You're going to have to do some of those things to try to beat a team that has one of the most explosive offenses in the league.
Jeff, you're covering this game for us this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. What are you watching out for?
Yeah, I mean, I look at this game the same way that everybody else does in terms of the quarterback pressures that could come from the Bears. And I think this is the sneaky type of game that could really impose a lot of trouble for Tom Brady, just given what Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack have done to start this year. So, I mean, I do not think that this is a walk in the park. And also, we can get to this, but Antonio Brown dealing with an ankle injury now, he's been a key weapon for Tom Brady. So if he's out, that's problematic. The good news for the Bucs, Antoine Winfield, looks like he will be back in the secondary, which is a much-needed boost. So, look, yeah, I understand why the Bucs certainly still should be favored in this game, but I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park by any means.
Lewis, final word on this.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's all about quarterback disruption. I mean, the NFL always comes down to that. We know that. And it's really about which one of these quarterbacks is made to feel the most uncomfortable in the pocket. Tom Brady, look, as good as he is, and he's the greatest of all time, and he's taking that team to new heights down there in Tampa. When he's uncomfortable, the game changes for him. We also know that explosive plays cause you to win and or lose football games. Chicago has to limit them. Justin Fields has to produce them. Whoever can do those things, make the other teams a quarterback uncomfortable, and limit explosive plays while getting them, has the best chance to win. Sunday football is always about that. This game's going to be no different.
Bears are last in the league in yards per game and 30th in points per game. They may have to do better than that to knock off Brady and the champs. Right now, I'm going to read some baseball highlights. We're going to go to the game of the night. Dodgers taking on the Braves in game four of the NLCS. Dodgers, Julio Urias is on the mound. Top of the second, no score. Eddie Rosario going the other way to left field. That's going to get over the wall. A solo shot for Rosario. Braves take a 1-0 lead. Top of the third, Braves are up by two. Freddie Freeman at the plate looking to add to the lead, and he does. Gets a hold of one. High and deep to right and gone. Second time Arias has allowed three home runs in a game in his career. Braves take a 3-0 lead. Top of the ninth, it's Eddie Rosario again. He needs a double for the cycle. Who cares? I want another home run. Over the right field wall, three-run shot. Rosario ends the game 4-for-5. Two homers, four RBIs. Braves win at 9-2. Lead the series 3-1. One more win, and they are in the World Series. ALCS, Red Sox facing the Astros in game 5 at Fenway Park. Chris Sale on the mound for the Red Sox. Yordan Alvarez at the plate in the top of the second. Solo home run into the seats. Astros, an early 1-0 lead. Postseason struggles continue for Sale, but he's still in the game in the sixth. It's 1-0. Michael Brantley hits a soft grounder to Rafael Devers. Fires to first. Kyle Schwarber drops the ball. Runner is safe. Schwarber, you look at it, not a lot of experience over there at first base, and it showed up in a bad moment. Two batters later, two on, one out for Alvarez. He's going to slap one into left field corner. Two runs are going to score on this. Sale is out of the game. Astros are up 3-0. They go on to score five runs in the inning. Pretty much settled. We're here in the bottom of the eighth. Christian Vasquez trying his best, but that thing's going to die on the warning track. Astros win it 9-1. They lead the series 3-2. One win away as well. Coming up, can Dak Prescott still be effective if his leg is not healthy? A legendary Cowboys quarterback weighs in, and so will our guys. Plus, a thriller at the Garden. The Knicks and the Celtics battling to the buzzer and beyond. Doris Burke here to talk about it when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, it's time for Buy or Sell. Damian Woody, the Ravens are going to win the AFC. Buying that or selling it?
I'm buying it. I'm buying it, man. Listen, Lamar Jackson, name a quarterback who's doing more with less right now than Lamar Jackson. He's just been unstoppable, both on the ground and throwing the ball. He's going to get some pieces back on offense. I love what the Ravens are doing. They have the right mentality. I'm buying the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, so now we know who's going to win the AFC. Lewis, the Cardinals are going to win the NFC. Are you buying or selling that?
Yeah, I'm buying. And look, I talked about this. Look, they have a nice leadership structure on this football team internally in the locker room now with guys like A.J. Green, with guys like J.J. Watt being brought in the offseason. And on top of it, they have superstars at the on the perimeter. They have a superstar at quarterback. They have good players on the second level on the defense. They have playmakers in the secondary. Look, this team right now has got it going on for good reasons. It's a very good time to be optimistic in the desert.
Ravens, Cardinals, an all-bird Super Bowl. You heard it here first. Bart Scott, Dak Prescott will win the MVP award. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell it. Dak Prescott's going to have an amazing season. I think the Cowboys win their division. But you really can't deny that force, that Mandalorian Baby Yoda that's going on in Arizona right now, what he's able to do. He was an MVP candidate last year, and he kind of, you know, tailored off at the end. But now he has better weapons around him, surrounded by good defense. They're probably going to, you know, be a force and a threat to win the Super Bowl. I'm going with Baby Yoda.
And a strong company synergy from Bart Scott. All right, speaking of Dak Prescott, the Cowboys are on bye this week, which is a good thing because Dak injured his calf on the final play of Sunday's overtime victory in New England. Cowboys have said they're optimistic that he'll be okay to play in Week 8 against the Vikings, but there's still at least some question. Here's what former Cowboys quarterback Troy Aikman thinks.
The great thing about playing quarterback relative to other positions is unless you just can't throw the ball, something's wrong with your shoulder or elbow or something of that nature, then you can manage the injuries a little bit better. I guess as the calf's not going to be 100% in 2 weeks, I don't see it impacting him other than potentially his ability to scramble. They've got so many weapons and such a great offensive line and everything else. I mean, he doesn't have to scramble, so they'll get around that just fine.
All right, so Troy's not worried. The Cowboys have said they're optimistic. Bart, what do you think? How worried are you about this latest Dak issue?
It's a nothing burger right now until it is, right? Because you understand how valuable that calf is. And what you worry about is compensation, right? You don't know if this is a response to maybe, you know, the stress that's been put on from the surgery. We don't know if he's compensating. His gait is different. We don't know if it happened on the during the quarterback sneak. You know, you worry about, you know, the calf moving up maybe to either down to the Achilles or up to the hamstring. You know, I'm going to monitor it. But right now, today, it's a nothing burger.
How about you, D-Wood? What are you watching when they come back next week?
Well, listen, I mean, listen, part of his game is predicated on movement. He's second in the league in passing outside the pocket, only behind Mahomes. So, you know, when you're talking about scrambling, moving around, guess what's involved? Your calf, okay? When you're throwing the ball, when you're planting your foot and throwing the ball down the field, guess what's involved? Your calf. This is not like a knee injury where you can throw a brace on it and you keep going. You know, when you talk about these soft tissue injuries, these things tend to, you know, get bigger as time goes on. So I'm not going to go in full panic mode, but this is something to be – this is something that needs monitoring, no question.
Lewis, if he is limited or affected by this, what impact do you think it has on that offense?
Well, I think it has an impact, a significant impact, simply because of what he had already talked about, which is his ability to throw outside of the pocket, and not just because he's scrambling for his life, but because that is something that is a part of their game and something that Dak instinctively will do, just to try to get a better vision down the field, change the launch point on his own. And look, I think quarterbacks, I'm going to give Troy the benefit of the doubt, obviously, because he's one of the greats to play the position, and he understands what it takes to play the position better than anyone. But and in football, even at the quarterback position, you're not just standing there stationary. You just don't always sit in the gun and just stand there and then hand it off or throw it from a stationary position. There's still instantaneous movement, spontaneous movement that you can't really calculate and can't really, you know, monitor and manage in a way that would, you know, keep you from maybe re-aggravating that injury. So I'm going to be a little bit worried until it's proven that I shouldn't be worried. But I think this offense is just so multiple. And that's the key word for this team. It's so multiple that even a less than 100% Dak Prescott does not slow them down in a significant way.
So we'll find out next week when they get back to practice what percentage we are getting. Jeff, what are you hearing out of Dallas on this?
Well, you know, the good news is that Mike McCarthy has made pretty clear that he doesn't anticipate that Dak's going to miss time because of the bye week. And, I mean, I think there's this sentiment like, if you're ever going to get injured, at least it's on like a game-winning touchdown in a really important game, which is sort of what happened here, especially if it's a minor. Like yesterday, I was trying to fix like a sprinkler, and I like cut my finger, and afterwards I'm like, God, that was dumb. I should have had someone else do the sprinkler. Like, that's a worthless injury. This at least came with some benefit, which was in the form of a win against the New England Patriots. So I feel like the Cowboys are pretty happy about that, at least.
Yeah, definitely something to avoid Jeff Darlington trying to do some housework, and it's not going
Great. Cowboys, as we mentioned off this week, return to action Halloween night in Minnesota. To the hardwood now. Celtics, Knicks, last night at the Garden. What a game. Under 2 minutes to play. Celtics up by, where are we? No, we're in the fourth quarter. We're starting in the fourth quarter. There's 9 seconds left. Jaylen Brown drills a deep three. Doris.
Straight out of COVID protocols. He was on the money.
Unbelievable. 4.8 seconds left now. Celtics down three. Dennis Schroeder. Find Marcus Smart.
Inexplicable double team by Fournier leads to a big time shot and for Spike.
Spike is in it for overtime. Under 4 minutes to go. The ball is passed around, kicked out to R.J. Barrett.
He got
for the
cooked.
Three.
Yeah, he got cooking from three late, Dan. Critical shot.
Big one. On the other end for Boston, we got Robert Williams finding Jason Tatum in the corner. Another three.
Time Lord with the timely delivery to the corner and a big-time shot by JT.
Game all tied up with seconds to play in overtime. Boston going to get the final look. Tatum off the dribble. Can't make it go. We're going to double overtime. Under 2 minutes to play. Celtics up by one. Julius Randle attacking the rim. And the N1.
Yeah, and if you play against size and you're Julius Randle undersized, go into his chest and somehow get separation.
He made the free throw. Just over a minute to play. Tatum on the other end with his own and one.
How about the Knicks getting a big-time performance? 30-plus for Mr. Fournier in his MSG debut. Go ahead.
Fournier with the big three. Give the Knicks the lead under 30 seconds. Then we got Derrick Rose taking it inside.
You had subbed out Kemba Walker, but look at Kemba's reaction to his teammate's big-time shot. And Spike saying, yeah.
Knicks go on to win a thriller in their opener. What did you take away, Doris, from the Knicks' performance?
Can I steal a Lewis Riddick phrase? He just talked about the offense being multiple. Well, for the first time, the Knicks have multiple, right? You saw that with Evan Fournier. Two guys go north of 30. Julius Randle, he's got to be at an all-NBA level. He goes for 30. Love what the Knicks did last night. Kemba Walker hopefully helps this group. You know, he and Derrick Rose, 36 and 19 minutes respectively, but it starts with the guy that they called the engine. Julius Randle has become a three-level scorer. He could always do this. He could be out in transition. He could rake and take. He could make plays off the dribble. He can score against size, so he's undersized. But now you have more options. In the playoffs, they were a one-dimension team, and that's why they bowed out.
Great start for the Knicks. What did you take away from Boston's performance?
Very little concern. You know, you go Jason Tatum, a horrible night shooting. You played with Al Horford, who's now in COVID protocols. He's going to be your starting four. You didn't get much from your bench. Jaylen Brown was tremendous. This is a team that I think is going to be that next tier. After Milwaukee, after Brooklyn, the New York Knicks and Boston will be that next tier in the East. But I thought what last night showed beyond a shadow of a doubt is how improved the East is. Neither of these teams is a gimme game for any team.
We're hoping all the games they play against each other this year are just like the first one. Right now we're going to take it down to New Orleans where the Pelicans were hosting the 76ers without suspended Ben Simmons, but they did have Joel Embiid.
Yeah, Joel Embiid is relishing the idea that he can be the man and lead this team through adversity. So you get four guys who score over 20 points led by Joel Embiid. He's a load to handle. He can single-handedly carry an offense. That's 7 foot, 280 pounds of nimble feet going to the cup from the three-point line. Joel Embiid's a bad man on the offensive end.
The pump fake, deadly. Late in the third quarter, Sixers up by four. Tobias Harris finds Seth Curry, who knocks down a three. Sixers lead by 7 seconds later. Harris is going to get it on the fast break. The contested shot, from close range. Sixers end the third quarter on a 7-0 run.
Legitimate options shooting the basketball. Furkan Korkmaz in the fourth period. Three straight threes. Oh, the Turkish assassin doing work from the perimeter.
Embiid got the fourth quarter off. Sixers win by 20. Story, of course, is Simmons. Here's what they had to say about that.
It was good to kind of get off to a good start, get a win and kind of forget about, the off-the-court stuff. Like I said, it's not our job. Our job is to win games.
I think for them, they've been normal. You know, the only abnormal part is when they have to talk to the media afterwards and they're asked questions. But they've been great. I'm telling you, you can't see it, obviously, because you're not in the practices. But for them, it's about playing basketball and growing together, and they've done a great job of that.
Which sounds great, obviously. Yeah. But what do you think? How will they do with all this going on? Look good first time out.
Yeah, listen, I think Joel Embiid, again, he's going to be open to the idea that adversity can become opportunity. And I would point to a guy in Tyrese Maxey, who instigated himself into the role last year that was critical off the bench. You were without Shake Milton last night, who would have been your starting point guard. So you turn to Tyrese Maxey, and what does he do? He goes for 27-5. We always talk in the NBA about next man up mentality. This young man is fearless. He was capable in the playoffs. He, too, is a three-level scorer. He can be a little bit streaky, likes the floater game a ton. But for this young man to go on the road in his first start and go for 20, positive sign.
Shows they can survive without Simmons, but the suspension was one game, which
right.
means it's over.
Yeah.
What happens now? Can they play him?
Here's the interesting question, because the person this would become most untenable for outside of the players would be Doc Rivers, right? So I said it all along. They're not going to move Ben Simmons without getting somebody that is an impact player, somebody who is a, quote, difference maker. But at some point, does the distraction become such that you make the same kind of decision that Brooklyn made with Kyrie Irving, where you don't want to put Doc and you don't want to put the players to consistently answer these questions? If you can put that issue to bed, does that enhance your ability to win?
Until then, it will hang over the franchise. Thanks so much, Doris. Really appreciate it. And speaking of Doris, she will be involved. You can tip off your weekend with our star-studded NBA Friday doubleheader on ESPN and the ESPN app. KD and the Nets are going to be in Philly to take on Joel Embiid and those Sixers at 7:30 Eastern. Then Doris will be on the call as Devin Booker and the Suns square off against LeBron and the Lakers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Coming up on Get Up, who's the best of the best in the NFL? Wait till you see who's on Bart Scott's list, and more importantly, who's not.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Let's run the hurry up now with Jeff Darlington. Jeff, take us through your notebook. Start with Saquon Barkley.
Well, Dan, you see it right there. The ankle injury that has kept Saquon Barkley out of action and also kept him out of practice on Wednesday. So very much in doubt that he could play this week, but hasn't been ruled out at this point. He didn't play in this last loss to the Rams. If he can go this weekend, of course, the question becomes, what will his workload be? We've seen that limited at times this year, so the Giants still wanted to get Saquon back to being Saquon, but maybe not quite there yet. Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's start with the Packers here. No, we're going to go Jimmy Garoppolo. And he's in a situation where it looks like he will play this week. He was limited in practice Wednesday, but Kyle Shanahan does sound optimistic that he'll be able to go in this game. Trey Lance, meanwhile, did not practice on Wednesday due to the lingering knee injury for him. So if I'm picking it right now, it looks like it will be Garoppolo starting coming this Sunday. Antonio Brown dealing with an ankle injury that limited him in practice this week. A little bit of a surprise here from Bruce Arians. Of course, we've seen the connection between him and Tom Brady recently. Certainly not ruled out yet. He'll try to practice at some point this week, but Arians noting that he was not able to practice on Wednesday. So an important one to watch there as the Bucs prepare for the Bears on Sunday.
Obviously something to watch there. Thanks, Jeff. Bucks out to a 5-1 start. So are the Green Bay Packers. Got blown out by the Saints in week one, but they've won five straight. And quarterback Aaron Rodgers is thinking Super Bowl thoughts. Take a listen to what he had to say.
This season is beginning to remind me a little bit of a season over a decade ago where we've had a number of injuries. And in the course of the season added certain pieces to the mix that ended up playing a big role down the line. I think you guys can imagine what season I'm talking about, which is a good thing.
You can imagine, you can look it up. It was 2010 when the Packers were the sixth seed in the NFC, yet ran the table to win the Super Bowl. Right now, though, in spite of being 5-1, they're not even in the top five in terms of the shortest odds to win the title this year. But we don't care about that list. We care about Bart Scott's fundamental list. Top five teams in the NFL. Bart, lay it on us. Where are the Packers?
I tell you what, well, they're not on my list.
No, come on.
Listen, I tell you what, maybe Whitley Merciless or maybe Jalen Smith has given him the hot tub time machine, making him think about what happened back in the day. But he's not on my list, damn. It's my list. Don't at me because I don't run my social media, so don't worry about me. At number five for me, how about them Cowboys? You talk about the most top-heavy offense on my list. You know, you got an opportunistic defense. You got a strong running game. Both of those things is needed to travel in the playoffs. They would be higher on my list if they had a little bit more balance and their coach understood time management.
All right, who you got at number four?
Number four, I have the Rams, my Super Bowl pick preseason. You know, I'm still on the Rams. I still think they're a good football team. Matthew Stafford, you talk about Ramsey. Impact defense players on both sides. I just get a little nervous that they don't have an impact running back, but they're number four on my list.
Who's number three?
Number three, the Bucks. Terrific Time, a.k.a. Benjamin Button. He just continues to age backwards. Right now they're going through a tough spell. All teams going to have to deal with injuries. And you talk about, you know, the Buccaneers are not exempt from that. But they're going to get healthy in the secondary. But until that time, Tom Brady is good enough to carry this football team. I have them number three.
So we asked you for top five teams in the NFL. I think you heard NFC. Is there no AFC team? Who's number two?
So disrespectful. Let's go with the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, there you
go. Of course, Lamar Jackson, a.k.a. Action Jackson. You talk about the most electrifying man in all of sports in North America. And listen, he's only going to get better when you talk about, you know, getting Bateman back last week. Sammy Watkins is eventually going to come back. Little concerned that Ronnie Stanley is going to have season-ending surgery. But listen, Action Jackson, this running game has so many personnel groupings that teams have their heads spinning. And number one.
5-1, 5-1, 5-1, 5-1.
Yes. 6-0. We're going to go with the Arizona Cardinals. The Mandalorian is back and he's doing his thing. Baby Yoda, they're protecting him. You know, he's electrifying and finally have balance with the defense. You talk about J.J. Swatt coming around, Chandler Jones, Buda Baker, all those guys they have over their impact. They're the most balanced team right now. Hell, they don't even need a coach. Kingsbury was able to watch the game in his palatial estate, having fun, looking good.
That fire pit.
Looking like a white Mike Lowry.
Yeah, that was good. So they're 6-0. They got the Texans this week. Probably most people picking them to beat the Texans. Then they got the Packers next Thursday night. Mm. Sneaky good Thursday night game. Want to bring the guys in. Any thoughts on Bart's list? Lewis?
Yeah, you know what? I like it. I like that Cardinals pick at the front. You know, and most people aren't going to buy into that simply because they think that this is a team that may fade down the stretch. I'm just telling you. I talked to Steve Keim for a while when we were out there in the preseason. They specifically targeted guys like J.J. and A.J. Green because they felt like this team needed to really be monitored from the inside out, meaning the guys on the ground, in the locker room. And Bart, what do you guys know this? You know the best team that you were on were basically run by the players. That if problems ever got to the coaches, it was too late anyway. You handled it in-house. And these guys, what they were brought in for in particular was for times like this, not adversity, but prosperity, keeping them on the straight and narrow. Because right now, everybody's talking about the Cardinals in a way that maybe they're not accustomed to being talked about. And you know that can go to your head. I think that's really one of the best picks on this entire list. And I think they are here to stay this year in 2021.
Obviously off to a fantastic start. D. Wood, you're looking at this list. Anybody missing?
I ain't breathing on hard, D. Wood. What all that air in your chest for?
Yeah, man. Listen, I got.
He needs his inhaler.
My chest, man. I don't need an inhaler. I'm gonna talk about them Cowboys. I'm gonna talk about them Cowboys.
All right.
Because listen here. For me, it's about momentum. Okay, and what we seen from the Cowboys this year, the way they're playing. It's unlike what they've done in the past. Prime example, New England. The way they played New England, game, like in the past, they would have lost that game. But they found a way to win that game. This is a different Dallas team. I would have the Dallas Cowboys up a little bit higher on that list because I think Dallas right now has something special going on. But I try not to get too much credit to Bart, man. You know what I mean? Because when Bart gets a little bit too much credit, then you know then he
build
go,
me
he
up.
Go
we'll
off
be
in
a good
another
teammate.
Stratosphere. You know what I mean?
Be a good teammate.
You know, I know we were, you know, we were locker mates and everything, you know, but you know.
Yeah, Woody, you know, Woody was famous for talking to me with no clothes on, man. Much. Like, hey, man, put your clothes on, Wood.
Uh-oh. Now we have reached the too much information portion of the program.
That's a non-starter for me.
I am going to change the subject to college football because our Saturday night football matchup is a Big Ten battle in Bloomington. Heisman hopeful quarterback C.J. Stroud and running back Travion Henderson lead the number 5 Buckeyes against Indiana. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. First Take follows us here next. Are the Knicks a threat in the Eastern Conference? Should Philadelphia even want Ben Simmons back? And are the Browns the biggest disappointment in the NFL? First Take coming up after we're done here.